Station number 16720, Bob Wilson, Reel 7.
Mr. Wilson, Reel 7. You arrived at your first camp, and as you say, you were doing your usual routine kind of things, and basically in England. Did you have Indian people on the camp working for you?
Oh, yes, there was Indian sweepers up and things like that, yes, in the camp. Well, there were lots of Indians employed. And that's why eventually... And a lot of Indians, I'm telling you now, they were very, very sorry when the British pulled out. Because a lot of livelihood went down the drain, you see.
What kind of jobs would they be doing?
Yeah, they were sweeping up, cleaning toilets and things like that, you know, cleaning washhouses and things like that.
Any personal attention that they gave you?
Any?
Personal attention that they gave you?
The only attention they gave you was a chap was called the Dobu.
Charwala?
No, he's the one with the tea. No, he was always there, Charwala. The Dobu Walla was the man that used to come and collect your washing. Do that. Come back ironed and washed and ironed. And of course, the man that used to come round in the morning and give you a shave. Them's the three things.
So a great deal of the chores, the hard work, are being taken out of your life by these people.
Oh, yes, yes. A lot of the unsavoury jobs are being taken away. Yeah. I mean, they weren't responsible for the cleanliness, really, of the washhouse, although the company commander got rocked if they were in untidy, but still, that was it.
Did you pay for them, for this personal service?
Oh, yeah, that had been paid for, yes. The companies paid out their own funds. The battalion paid them, but they were reimbursed from the company out their funds. Whatever, how many, whatever they was working for them. Didn't get much, you know. But I suppose they were grateful for it.
How were they treated on the camp?
I think they were treated very, very fair. There was a lot of bloody thieving, you know. Thrifty Wallers, as we called them. You had to watch yourself. No good leaving coppers lying about it. And of course, as I told you before, about the rifles, eventually they came in and were put in the centre of the room by the way, a big chair now, you see. Well, that was a thing they were after, rifles, you know. Well, not adults, but the cleaners were, but the outsiders.
So people were kind of breaking into the camp from time to time?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, were your guard duties not aimed to keep them out?
Well, it didn't affect them, did it? As I told you before, you weren't on guard, you're on shore. You're no good to man the beast. You weren't. Can you imagine a fella on guard lying down trying to fight with a starched uniform? Could he sell the ribbons?
Pickets. Were they more effective? Pickets. Did you have picket duties?
Well, pickets. They didn't know. I mean, it didn't matter if there was anybody there. I never came across anybody, mind. I'll be honest about this. But you went round in your time. Not at the set time. You didn't go round, say, at 2:05 and came back at 3:05. You went when you wanted to go, or when the guard commander said to go. Don't go now, Wilson. Go 10 minutes later. 10 minutes earlier. Things like that, you see. You staggered your time. Therefore, if there was any prowlers, they didn't know when. But there you are, you're only out of the pit hell, weren't you?
Do Was discipline better than it was in England again? Was it easier?
Well, it never changes in the British Army. Never changes. It doesn't matter where you're in the middle of the Sahara Desert. It's still the bloody same. It never changed, and it doesn't want to change neither. Because I reckon we've got one of the best disciplined armies in the world, I do. Many a time there's lots of the lads would like to break it, but still they don't. Not too cowardice, just too disciplined.
So for 6 weeks, 6 months, sorry, I think you said that you were at this first camp, you were basically just doing the same kind of thing as you would have been in England.
Yes.
There's no great change there. Did you get out of the camp at all?
Oh, yes, you're allowed in Bombay. Well, you're allowed to go anywhere on a pass. As long as you got back. You're allowed to go anywhere.
What were the attractions that drew you into the town? Or the city?
Well, there wasn't... I mean, you go to the cinema. But, of course, there was always the camp cinema. But, you went out. I'll tell you why I went out. I didn't go out very much, but I went out for a decent meal. Because there was, naturally, the Indians cared for the British troops then. And there was restaurants there you could have fish and chips. You see? Instead of having the curry, you could have proper English food. Pie and chips or something, whatever you wanted. See? Don't know what was in the pies, but never mind, yeah, fine chips.
Had your pay increased with being abroad?
Oh, yeah, millionaires we were, yeah, three bob a day. Never mind.
Was there any attraction for the ladies of the city?
Well, I hadn't. That didn't bother me at all.
Was it a problem in the battalion, particularly the diseases that they could pick up?
Well, we're very good regarding that. I think if you talk to anybody else, maybe you talk to a medical officer, I don't know. But he'll tell you the sort of venereal diseases in the Dale Eye was very, very low indeed. It was the odd one out of a, you know.
Had you been warned prior?
The last thing you saw in the garden when he went out. You have been warned. And I think those days, you know, I'm talking about now 60 years ago, you know. Not bad for the memories. Venereal disease was a horror. And you're frightened of it. And I think that's why the common sense person played the game with himself.
And it was an offence to catch it?
Oh, yes, yeah.
What would happen to you if someone, you know...
Well, you lose all your little bits of privileges, didn't you? And you got put in parades for, catching disease. Well, China was the worst, you know, coming on later on. China was the worst for venereal disease. Worse than India.
After the 6 months and you moved up to Dulali?
That was when we were around the bloody bend then, yes. There was nothing there.
Can you tell me what the camp looked like that you went to there?
Can you remember High Noon? Well, that's what Dulali camp was like. A load of empty shacks. Just a wooden shacks it was. It'd been there for years, you see. Now, don't tell me what it was there for, because I haven't found out yet. There was nothing to guard. Nothing at all. And there was a camp that held a battalion. No, sorry. It was a camp that held two companies of a battalion. And off we went up there. It was A and C company went up there. And half of the machine, as I told the support group, they always went half. It was half down the middle. And they went with the other two companies. And we went up there. We had nothing to do at all. And that was all pickets. No guards. Well, that was lovely. Oh, God. And the pickers was just roaming the camp, you know. And there was an ammunition dump there. But it was underground.
No Indian village.
But there's a cinema there now. Cinema to Doolally, where they used to. They occasionally used to get films up, you know, and show them to the troops at night time. Champion it was. I first saw 42nd Street there. 42nd Street.
There's no Indian village or town close to you?
That's all there was, Doolally. A load of idiots being there in the wild. You see, and there's nothing else to do but pickets. Your members done a members done a company exercise, but very, very rare, because the officers didn't want to bother them either. You go out to the canteen and you could be sit there all day if you want. And that's where I learned to play bridge. Come on then. That's where I learned to play. A chap learned to play now. I got interested in bridge. And I used to go down and play bridge there. And of course, that's where, in the barracks, there used to be gambling away with the mahjong and the cards, you see. There was very little to do, but there was plenty to do if you wanted to do. There was tennis courts, you see, who were there and play tennis and all sorts of queer things.
Did this not make you less efficient as a soldier?
Did.
But kind of lying around, as you say, or doing what you wanted most of the day, did it not affect your efficiency?
No. I mean, you still had your battalion chores to do, I suppose. You might be on all your room duty as a messenger boy. Well, that was a waste of time, you know. Where's the time? They could have picked the phone up, couldn't they? And rang up. But nobody had to be there, you see. Tradition, that's all. Tradition. That's where in India I got myself. I should have to get that photograph out for you. I found a kitten, and it was a wildcat in Doolally. And I brought it to the barracks, and it was only a little wee little thing like that. I felt sorry for it, and I brought it back in the bag. So I went and saw the corporal and asked if I could keep it. He said, well, it's up to me, Tuffy. He said, you have to go to the company commander. So I went down and saw the commander. He said, I'm sorry. You'll have to go and see the CEO of the detachment, you see. I went and saw it. He said, yes, it's all right with me, as long as it's out the road when I come round. As long as you feed it well and things like that. It was the finest watchdog I had. It was that. She'll lie on my pillow. The one in the bed was made up. She'll lie on the top there like that. And nobody could be anywhere near my bed. Nobody. Fangs, you know. Anyway. CO, I don't know, I must have had a bad night, decided to have a CO's inspection one Saturday morning, see. So the platoon sergeant, he said, get that bloody thing out the road, man, Wilson, he said. I don't want to see nothing of that. So I just laid it behind me bed, you see, and the palliasses, and I said, no, just stay there, and it just curled and went to sleep. Well, the CO came round, and the detachment commander, Major it was, he came round, and an officer just come out from England. I mean, pink my cheeks and all sorts of things. Because we were old sweats then. And I don't know why he did it. Well, the CO came up, and he just said, hello, Wilson, how are you? And he said, hello, Thomas, and how are you? You know. All right, sir, thank you. And he was looking, and I know what he was looking for, because he knew I had it, because I got permission of him. And he says, good. And he walked back. But this fella, this second lieutenant, went to me bed. He was going to lift to see what was all ready. So he lifted, and of course the cuts from out and they grabbed him. And it let out such a bewailing screech, you know, this cat. And I grabbed it. And this lieutenant said, "You'll be on the charge. What is your name?" "Corporal, take this man's name." And this major turned around and said, "I'll see you later, Mr. Johnson." No charge came. But like a banshee it was. You know the fella I was talking about coming from the shave? He had to shout at myself on the other bed, you know. "All right to come now," I said, "Well, you come, you want to." And when I came away, there was a civilian in Doolandy who was going to be staying there for the next 7 years on the railway. And asked him if he wanted. I said, "It's a good cut." And he took it up. I was over the moon. Over the moon.
What was the climate like?
Hot, humid, and dry. You had to talk to sweat. Because it was mosquito nets and everything, you think.
Was Doolandy in a hotter place than your first camp?
Oh, yeah, but you see, you've got the sea breeze, you see. Well, you've got nothing on Doolandy. You've got the sea breeze, beautiful. And you could go from here to the seafront. Great big stone wall. See, the seafront was about from here to the house over the road there. So you'd go and sit in there all day if you wanted. After your duties, you know.
Was Doolandy up in the hills or on a plane or what?
Up in the hills.
What, did the climate affect your health in any way? And the health of the battalion?
Well, I think the only way it would affect your health, I reckon if you were there more than 6 months, you go around the bend. That's where you get the statement from, Doolandy Top. Because there is nothing to do. There's no place to go, you know, there's no town to go to, there's no village to go to. The only thing you had was the cinema once a week. Right? And you had to make your own enjoyment.
The company commander, the gentleman who was in, or the officer who was in command of you at Doolandy, do you remember his name?
Captain O. L. P. Paget. Captain Paget. O. L. P. We used to know him.
And what was he like?
He was all right. He was all right. Loads and loads and loads of bloody money he had. Paget, Captain Paget.
Any other officers at Doolandy you remember?
Who?
Is there any other officers?
Is he had to think there a lot there, is he, for Paget?
I think you mentioned the new man as Johnson, was that his name?
No, Johnson, that was the young lieutenant that came out from England. You've only been out 2 days.
After that incident, did you get to know him?
Oh, yes, he was all right, yes, he was all right, because he used to come, you know, he used to have a walk around. He was platoon commander of, either two or three. Because he had nothing to do with our platoon, see, but he used to come round, especially if he was all the officers, you see. "Is the cat anywhere about this?" And I said, "Well, go and see, sir. Go and see that, haven't I?" He said, "I'm not going anywhere near that." He used to sleep at night time on my bed, foot in my bed. And more be tired anyway when he came.
Your own platoon commander, do you recall him?
I don't think we had an officer. I think it was Rags Fairclough. I can't remember. Well, no, we had no officer. That was right. It was Rags. Rags was who was called Rags. Rags Fairclough.
He was what, CSM? What rank did he?
He was just a sergeant. That's the one I had told before I came from Sunderland.
Yeah. You get on all right with him?
Oh, yeah.
Whatever length of time you were there, and you said it was difficult, it was nothing to do. Were there any problems within the unit?
No. The officers didn't bother you. You see, I know it may be a selfish way to say it, but I reckon the CEO thought that if the battalion was running smooth, there's no call to bother it. And that's the old-fashioned way, you know. Right? Leave well alone. Right?
How long were you at Dulally?
Stop. Well, I was at in Dulally until February 37.
Where did you go then?
And then from then the battalion got ready to go to the Sudan.
So you'd been out how long then?
I'd been out in India roughly 2 years, 18 months or 2 years.
You'd never got involved in any kind of civilian situation?
No.
Did the Indians show any dislike for the British?
I'll tell you who liked us. The Sikhs and the Gurkhas. We had a platoon of Gurkhas attached to us, you know. And they were wonderful fighters, wonderful men, which they proved later on during the war.
Were there other Indian soldiers or other regiments that you came in contact with?
No. And we had the worst thing in the world. You've never seen any lion. The Indian mule. There's no worse than that. There's nothing more obstinate or stubborn. Because you had them to carry your guns and your things when you went on maneuvers, you see, through the hills, your machine guns and things like that.
So you would get on some maneuvers later on, did you?
Oh, yes, we did maneuvers later on, belly maneuvers, which is a place called Lake Beale. But that was, we only did it once, but that was 3 months before we left Lake Beale.
What did that entail?
Just battalion maneuvers, you know, company against company, platoon against platoon sort of thing, and night firing, see? And many a bloody Indian got shot at night time, you know, many a one, accidentally, but for them not, you know, shouldn't have been there, because they were warned by their own people, because it was a battalion, it was a British Army range, you know, used to wander all over the shop.
The mules that you had, did you have to lead those, or did they have Indians leading them?
What?
Your mules that you had with you.
Oh, no. In India, you had so many sepoys, that was the Indian private soldier attached to you, and they were the ones that dealt with the mules. Because they were both really idiots. But they used to talk to the mules, you see, and I'm sure the mules understood them. I'm sure they did, because if you said, come on up here, you used to have names for them, they wouldn't move. You know, but the sepoy came up and said, come on now, we'll just say Charlie, come, Charlie, that's it. And off it went. Voice, you see, voice. Yeah.
Other regiments of the British Army, did you come across them?
Oh, yes, now look. It doesn't matter where I've been. There's a regiment that always pops up next door to us. Doesn't matter where, and that's the Black Watch. We always seem to be sister regiments, and we've always got on marvellous together. Of course, our favourite regiment is the Northumberland Fusiliers, naturally, you see. But we didn't come into contact then until Western Desert time.
And you didn't have any problems with your Scotch neighbours, the Scots?
Well, I say we got on fine. Lovely.
Did you get involved in the battalion football team that was winning everything out there?
Oh, yeah, I got playing for the battalion out there, yeah. As I say, we were in Dunally, and then, you see, this is how the battalion used to work. This is favouritism, that's all it is. Now, I played with the battalion football team. There was two of us in Dulally playing with the battalion football team. Now, we were in Dulally, 100 miles away, okay? Now, the battalion was playing in the Calcutta, the cup tie in Bombay, we'll say, or in Delhi, I say. Now, we were shunted down to Bombay, just two of us, you know. It's just favouritism. I don't care what you say about it. Favouritism. To play football and then come back. They didn't mind. Mind at all. But we played all of us, you know, Calcutta, Bombay, Karachi, you know, Delhi, all over the shop in India. Marvellous man being a battalion sportsman.
What position did you play?
I played right half. The olden days, right half, yeah.
Do you recall any of the finals that you played in?
Do I recall any?
Any particular big final you played in?
Yes, I got sent off. There was a chap called, two of us got sent off, a chap called Hoogie Walker. And we played in the final at Bombay. And we were playing, I think it was the West Yorks, either the East or the West Yorks. And somebody now kicked me up, you know, on the back of the bloody car. And I didn't say anything really, I said, you know, I said, well, that's enough of that. And about 10 minutes later, they did the same thing when I turned on them, see. And actually I got my marching orders. And Hooky Walker, the fellow I'm talking about, was a beautiful footballer and that. And he come up to me, he says, never mind, Toby, he said, I'll go a witness for you when you go in front of the CO, because you had to go in front of the CO first. And the referee came up to Hooky Walker and said something, and says, and of course he just gave me a mouthful. Hooky Walker just gave me a mouthful, and he sent him off as well. Well, I didn't get CB, but I got 7 days fatigues, which is a different thing altogether, you see. And I got 7 days working in the Sam Smith. Oh, I didn't mind that at all, that was all right. That Sam Smith's group and all sorts of things. But I was dropped for the next four matches. You know, it was punishment, and it was punishment as well. Shouldn't have backed the Dole Alley and served me time in the Sands Mess of Dole Alley thing. But we won. Anyway, we won. But I ruled that day. And I don't think it was my fault. But there, boy, you see, you don't retaliate there. Not in the football field. Or on the sports field.
Were you promoted in India?
Lance Corporal.
When did that happen?
I got the word from CSM, it doesn't matter, sent for us, and he says, you've been recommended by a platoon sergeant for the promotion to Lance Corporal. I said, oh, I was, thrilled a bit, I was. Oh. I said, he said, no more guards. That's the first thing that came through me, went through my mind. No more guards. On guards, you just had a load to be Lance Corporal, you know, chasing them over, champion. So I went in front of the company corner, and the company corner said, I've been recommended for Lance Corporal. How do you feel about it? I said, well, I'd be delighted, sir. He says, this sending up business does you no good, you know. And I thought that was it, you know. He said, I'll give you this chance. And I came on battalion orders. That's cool.
Did that mean an increase in pay?
Oh, yeah, go on, sir. Could buy you dinner then.
What kind of an increase would it be?
Well, about another 19 a day more, which was a lot of money. Eh? 19 a day more. But then I called mess duties to pay, hadn't I? So, yeah. But it made such a difference, you see.
What were your? How did your duties change for being Lance Corporal? What were you now doing?
Well, there was no guard duties, was there? There was picket duties, but you were in charge, weren't you? So things were so damn side easier. You still had to get ready for picket duty. You had to get ready for picket. But once you're ready and once you're over, that was you finished. All you had to do, you saw that A went out and relieved B, and B went out and C went out and relieved B, you know, that way. That's all you do. And fill your guard. That was a load of rubbish as well. The guard report. I wish I'd kept one for you. Have you seen the one? Going to try and get hold of one. It's a revelation. It is a revelation.
What kind of thing might be on the guard report?
When did you last see Palace? Did you notice anything unusual, you know, like during the night or things, you know, stupid things? And there was four sheets, you know. First thing I had to do was put your name down, this guy come, pick a command, you know, and then list your picket and all that, you know, and things like that.